got a pulpit this morning, amen. Better not hit it too much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. After the beating you got yesterday, you came back again. That's good.
Even more people than last time.
As Christians get weaker, we tend to like weaker messages. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. And right now, the days we live in, we need a lot of strong preaching to bring people back to their senses, bring them back to normality, bring them back to wanting to do the will of God. And I trust that this morning you will understand more about how to find the will of God. I've preached this message maybe 1,000 times, literally. I'm going to give it to you this morning. I want you to write down the outline. You can use it if you're in the ministry one day. This is the simplest that I know that I can give you on the subject of knowing the will of God. Let's pray. Precious Father, thank you for these young people. Thank you for your mercy upon all of us. Thank you, dear God, that there are some in this room who will tackle great things for you. There are some, Father, who will walk away from anything you have for them. There are some who will be great conquerors. And there will be some, Father, who will shut their ears and want to do their own thing. And Father, we pray, we know we'll stand before you very soon. Father, we know that our days are now numbered, and many of these teenagers here in this room will not grow up to be as old as I am, or even close to that. So they have a shorter span of life in which to do their work. And I pray for them, Father, this is something to take very seriously. Because the rest of eternity depends on it for them. So we pray this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It is said that out of every 100 Christians, only 10 will ever find the will of God. And when you think about those kind of figures, that ought to be... ought to make you sit up straight, amen? Which means that when we get to heaven, there'll be a lot of crying. You see, maybe you've been taught that there'll be no tears in heaven. That's not true. It says he will wipe away our tears. But between the time when we arrive and when they're wiped away, it could be a long time. Because when you get to heaven, you'll realize possibly how much you've lost. Now, business people know that term. They win and lose lots of great amounts of money and stock and bonds and land. They know what that means, but Christians don't seem to understand this. We spend a lot of time making this life comfortable, making this life good for us, instead of thinking in the long term, the next life will last forever. This is only a drop in the bucket. But what you do now, will determine how you live then. So instead of making your life exciting, full of high-tech toys and junk and everything else you collect on the way, you ought to be thinking, what am I doing in this life so that my next life in heaven will be something special What are you doing now? See, you all know we're going to have 1,000 more years on this ball that we live on, don't you? Don't you? We're only leaving for 7. We're not staying away very long. And then we're going to come back here, and we're going to live here 1,000 years going between here and heaven. It won't be far away. Just that 1,000 years is pretty hard to comprehend, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Isn't it? How long have you lived?
2 years.
Yeah, nothing. Can't comprehend it, amen? So what are you going to do in 1,000 years? If all you did in this life was play games and acted like a teenager when you were 30, what are you going to do in 1,000 years, let alone 1,000,000 years? So what you do now, determines the shape of what you will have to live with in the future. So doesn't it make sense to you that you ought to be breaking your neck here to find out the will of God, doesn't it? Because God left you here, and He left a program for you to fulfill. He left you here with something to do. He didn't just leave you here. He left you here to work. Amen? Get something done, lay the foundation, and this is one of the few things that you are allowed to change in eternity. Did you know that? The other thing you can change in eternity is how many people you take with you. How many are you going to win and disciple and take with you? That is up to you. That change you can make. And the other change is how you're going to live in eternity. That's up to you too. So God's left those two things up to you. Left it open. Amen? He's not going to ask you if you've got an Apple phone. He doesn't care about apples or phones. You understand me? That doesn't even come into God's vocabulary. It's rubbish. It's nonsense. God is interested in one thing. People. Say it with me.
People.
Who are you bringing when you go? That's the first thing that's going to confront you when you arrive. The massive amount of people there all come into the gates of heaven, and you'll be there, and the people behind you would be the people that you have won and discipled. How many will there be? Because that is part of your reward forever. Because you're not coming back here to do that part again. So knowing the will of God is more important than getting married. Much more important. More important than buying a house. Why are we breaking our neck to buy a house? Why? I told you, in six years from now, you won't have any money to spend in your hand. It'll be gone. So they're going to have to put some mark on us or give us some alternative to money. Which is just around the corner, young people. We're not talking 50 years here. Okay? It's just around the corner. Some of you just starting to worry now. You know, what are we going to do without having $50 note? Well, I don't know. I might not be alive to even see that. But I'm telling you, the will of God is the most important thing for you to figure out quickly. What I've accomplished in 50 years of being a Christian, you may only have 5 or 10 or 15. So is it important to be a high-tech junkie right now? No. That's the least thing on your list. The important thing right now is, why did God put me here? Because you have to answer that when you get there. There's got to be an answer from you. God's like, I left you down there. Now, tell me about it. What did you do? God's not going to give you a nice flowery speech. That's the trouble with us Christians. We want to hear a nice message, like spreading butter on a sandwich. We don't want somebody coming along making it rough for us. Amen? We say, oh, Brother Rager, that was a bit of a rough message. No, you better be glad the Apostle Paul isn't here this morning. You would have all left the room by now already. You'd be running down the street with your pants on fire trying to win someone and get them out of hell. Amen? Amen? Wake up. Amen? And so the will of God is the thing for you to figure out. So let's write down number one. There's 4 points in here to write down. Number one, how to know the will of God. Number one, the will of God is found in the Word of God. Write that down. The will of God is found in the Word of God. Then write down Psalm 119 and look at verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. And verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. And then it giveth what?
Understanding
unto the simple. Are you simple? You better be, because if you're not, God can't get through to you. You're a knucklehead. Amen? Bunch of knuckles, you can't get through them. Got it? These are knuckles here. You can't get through them. And so God is saying, you better be simple so I can speak to you. God is not complicated, young people. He's simple. But he's direct. He's direct. And he's very particular. Every blade of grass grown in this world is different. Every blade, you can't imagine that, Dennis. That every blade of grass is not another one like it. And there's not another one like you. Say amen to that. And so God is saying, well, if you want to know my will, then you need to read the Bible. And the average teenager spends less than 5 minutes a day reading the Bible. How on earth are you going to find the will of God when you spend 5 minutes a day reading it? And then you spend 2 hours texting. Hello? Hello? If you're on the phone doing two, you're sick. You're just sick. You need to see a psychiatrist or somebody. You're sick. If you've got that much time to waste talking about nothing, which is basically what you're doing, you are sick. You need help quickly. You need someone to stomp on your phone and get rid of it and set you free. You're not free. You're being controlled by a little box. You're not free. You understand me? And you'll never find the will of God until you've freed yourself from everything that is taking your time up and everything that's become a little God to you. Get rid of it so you're free to pursue the will of God. The entrance of thy word. That means reading. Say it with me. Reading. Most teenagers can't read anymore. They just press buttons and their homework comes out of the Epson machine. Amen? They don't do any homework. They pinch other people's study and then say, oh, this is my answer. You didn't do any work. Come on, be honest. You stole it from somebody else. Hello, don't look at me like you're innocent. I know what's going on in school. I've taught in many schools. I've taught probably in 200 or 300 schools in my lifetime. So I know. And I want to tell you something. You are in the worst period in the history of mankind. You're in the worst period. You've been spoon-fed. You've been trained to talk to boxes and screens and machines. You're almost a gone generation. If we depended on your generation to reach the rest of the world with the gospel, good luck. You can't even live without a phone. You can't even live without a laptop. You can't do anything without high-tech stuff. So how are we going to be able to use you? We have to free you from all that junk so it doesn't control you. Are you with me? Did I say that you have to throw it all out the window? No. I said you have to stop allowing it to control your time. Who's been on the airplane? You ever watched it? As soon as the plane lands, everyone's like, is it true?
Yep.
Yes. But what are you saying? We've arrived. They all know that. They're looking at the screen. But I have to tell them. You see how sick we are? We're dependent on things that don't matter. But reading the Word of God, we just don't have time. Now I want to tell you something. If this is not scheduled in your daily living, then you are one of the